Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
Before we get started into chapel, I thought I'd give a few introductory comments. Tomorrow's my birthday, just so anyone, you know, needs reminded of that fact. I have been here a long time, and I don't do chapel very often, but I think every time I do chapel, I follow Dave Stevens, okay? How fair is that? Bert asked me a few weeks ago if I would do chapel, and I first thought I would turn him down because everything we have for audit is due tomorrow, and we have some deadlines facing us, and I just didn't know about the preparation. So I'm actually revamping a men's prayer breakfast devotion that I did in mid-May, and Dr. Chupp was there, so this is a repeat for him. But at the time, I just felt like it was a theme I was hearing. I think courage is probably overdone, definitely in a men's breakfast, prayer breakfast setting. It's probably overdone a little bit. I was reminded 2 weeks ago when Dr. Chupp did chapel that he put up our aspirational values, those Olympic rings. I'd forgotten that courage was one of those rings. So I know we've talked about it before, but hopefully today, through maybe a few stories, a few Bible verses, that you could be reminded of our responsibility, reminded of what we need to be doing, what we need to be about, and find some encouragement in that fact. Why am I showing you this picture? Any idea? No. That would be wrong, George. What's right below the cap? Come on, people. Come on. What's that number? What's the significance of that number? I'm sorry? That's how old I'll be. My birthday's tomorrow. I've been waiting 57 years for this joke. Sorry. Thought I'd start out with a definition of courage from that trusty source, Wikipedia. Courage is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. That verse scares me. Don't really like that verse. I like this one a little bit better. Courage is the quality of being ready and willing to face negative situations involving danger or pain. Not a whole lot better, but it is a good definition. A few verses. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord. Psalm 31. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord be with you wherever you go. For the God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle with some of these verses because I think, and I think I've resolved this in my own mind, a lot of these verses would indicate that we are to be without fear, but I don't think you can have courage absent from fear. I think there has to be some level of fear in order for you to have courage. So I've resigned myself, and this is the gospel according to Connie, I guess, that courage has to trump fear. Courage has to outweigh fear. Courage has to become greater on the scales than fear. But I think fear is definitely part of the equation. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I have been a Gideon, a member of the Gideons International, for 24 years, and I started speaking on behalf of the Gideons about 8 years ago, and when I go and share, I don't always share, because sometimes I have 5 minutes to share, sometimes I have a whole service to share in, but I share this story of my Uncle David, David Smith from Advance, North Carolina. And I can remember as a kid going to his house and spending a couple of weeks with he and my aunt and my cousins and just hanging out. But I remember if I was there on Wednesday, I was at church on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, I was in church on Sunday morning, and Sunday night I was in church as well. And a lot of those times, my uncle spoke. He was a lay speaker, and he spoke many of those times. In fact, he spoke here locally when he would come to visit us. I think most families have an Uncle David. You may be your Uncle David. When we would have our family get-togethers, he would pray. Because when he prayed, we had transcended to the feet of God. That's where he took us. He was just that type of man. 8 years ago, he passed away at the age of 92. And I can remember going to his funeral, and my cousin, his son, officiated the service, and he gave the message. And I remember listening to this message, and I'd known my uncle all my life, and I gained two facts from that I did not know about my uncle. First, he was a Gideon for 43 years. So that's why he was speaking in churches a lot of the times, not all the times, but he was speaking in churches. The second thing I did not know about my uncle is that he dropped out of high school. And the reason he dropped out of high school, he had a public speaking course, did not want to speak in front of his peers, so he dropped out of high school. The man I knew all my life at speaking in churches dropped out of high school because he didn't want to speak in front of people. I wish I'd known that earlier. I would love to have asked him that story, talked about that story, how he overcame that, his courage, if you will, to step forward in that. How do we display courage? What are some of the ways? These are mine. You may word them differently. You may have some variations of this, but I think we display courage by showing up. Just simply being present sometimes. Standing up. When we see a wrong or a right, we have a responsibility, I think, to stand up. Speak up. Sometimes it's okay to just talk about what's on your mind. Talk about the injustice. Talk about whatever that is. But sometimes that takes a step of courage. Sometimes we just need to shut up. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Sometimes our silence is an act of courage. We're going to play a game. We're going to play a game. Family Feud, okay? Top four answers are on the board. Acts of courage displayed in the Bible. Bill Reichert created the audience participation last week. I will continue the audience participation. Acts of courage. Anyone? David and Goliath. That's a good one. Not the one I want yet. Ding, 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 ding. Didn't bring sound effects. Daniel and the lions did. How did he display courage? Okay, but of the four, did he show up, speak up, stand up, whatever? Yes. Yes. In fact, I guess we could say he didn't stand up. He actually kneeled down, didn't he? That's what got him in trouble. What's number two? I haven't heard it yet. The three Hebrew boys. How did they display their courage? They did not bow down. So I guess you could say they stood up, right? Okay? They stood up. In a way, they spoke up. For their dedication and their love toward their God. Number three, haven't heard it, I don't think. Anybody? Guesses? Esther, going before the king. And she knew that if she went before the king, that she could actually be put to death. And in fact, there is a verse there, and I don't have it with me, that says, "If I perish, I perish." She knew what was at stake. She knew that she could be put to death, but she showed up and she spoke up to save her people. And the last David and Goliath. We know what David did. Personally, I think it didn't take a whole lot of courage to hit that big forehead of Goliath, but, you know, David showed up, he stood up, and he acted upon that courage where most were afraid. Some opportunities to display our courage can be planned. And we could talk about many scenarios. One that came to my mind was, have you ever had to have that difficult conversation with a family member? That you just knew there was going to be some fallout, some consequences if you did it. For me personally, this came to mind. I have an 81-year-old stepfather, and he is in the early stages of dementia, and he has refused to have any advanced directives, if you will, power of attorney or any of that. And he knows, he's very sound mind, he just refuses to do it. So to have those difficult conversations at times comes with a risk, comes with a potential loss. I think of Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The second habit is to begin with the end in mind. When we have those conversations, and maybe it's just me, but when you have those conversations or you know you're going to have those conversations, do you rehearse them? Do you practice them in your mind? Okay, this is what I'm going to say. And if they react this way, then this is what I'm going to say. Or if they react a different way, this, you lay out all the scenarios. Sometimes our acts of courage can be planned. Difficult family conversations, I mentioned. Some opportunities to display courage take us by surprise. We just can't plan them. They just hit us out of nowhere. You didn't see it coming. Well, I'm going to share a story with you about my cruise, my Carnival cruise in May of 2002. I wish this story had a different ending. I wish it had a better ending. But I think it probably makes the point that sometimes we have to be prepared and we have to stand up and we have to speak up. So hopefully this makes the point. In May 2022, my wife Kelly and I joined my sister, brother-in-law, and nephew on a cruise to the Eastern Caribbean. And we were on the Carnival ship, the Carnival Freedom. And just as a side note, after this story, Mandy actually was on that same ship 5 weeks after I was, celebrating her 2-year delayed honeymoon, thanks to COVID. But anyway, she was on this same ship. We had come to our last stop. It was a 5-day cruise. Our last stop was at Grand Turk. And couldn't tell you where Grand Turk was prior to this cruise. But we docked about 7 a.m. in the morning. My sister had been there before, so she said, I got a place that we need to go, but we need to go quickly. So we need to plan on getting off the ship about 8 o'clock. We had docked beside a much larger ship, the Carnival Mardi Gras. And at 7:45, we were having breakfast. And we're having breakfast on the side of the ship that faced the Mardi Gras. And I noticed that several people were coming out on their balcony. And then at some point, those people on their balconies started taking pictures. And then at some point, they started pointing. And my first thought was, we have a jumper. We have a jumper on the top, getting ready to jump. That's what they're looking at. But then the captain came over the PA system in that strong Norwegian voice, and he made an announcement that I could not understand, but obviously the staff could because they went into a completely different mode. The ship was on fire. So we actually got up from our tables. We started out of the area where we were having breakfast, and we started down the stairs. As we started down the stairs, this is a picture that I took. My son-in-law likes to point out the sign in the bottom right. It was a party. But that's a picture that I took right before going down the stairs. And the level of panic surprises me sometimes, okay? We were behind a lady going down the stairs, and she threw up going down the stairs. Now, we were docked, okay? I figured I could jump overboard, swim the 25 yards if I need to. One guy had his plate with him. He had his breakfast with him. He's eating going down the stairs. So you had one side, another side. This is another picture, obviously taken from the Mardi Gras. And it was serious. I didn't realize how big news it had made here in the United States until my daughters informed me. But an hour later, we find ourselves on the beach, and we were swimming and relaxing and enjoying the sun. We had been there probably a couple of hours, and Kelly and I decided we had nothing but time. So we went to this Starbucks, and this is an actual picture of the Starbucks there in Grand Turk. And we were probably about where you would imagine the photographer to be in this line. And we were just standing there, and as you can imagine, in the absence in the absence of information, people were coming up with their own information on how we get home, when do we get home, what's that going to look like. And there were some people stressed because, keep in mind, this is late May. There were some weddings people needed to attend. There were some graduations that people needed to attend. Folks did not bring an abundance of medicine, so this was toward the end of the cruise, and they needed their medicine. I think Carnival did an excellent job, by the way. But we found ourselves in this Starbucks line. And as we're standing there, I notice from me to about JC, there was a gentleman talking to a friend. And this gentleman starts talking about how we are going to get home. And his plan was like this. Carnival would be sending a ship to pick us up. We would actually be there through Saturday in Grand Turk. And the ship would come late on Saturday. We would actually transfer ships. And we would be home in Orlando by Monday morning. So our 5-day cruise is now a 7-day cruise. This story seemed legitimate. It seemed like the best story I'd heard from people talking. So anyway, we were just standing in line. Kelly had gotten a diabetic sensor just months before, and she had a bandage over it. And this lady came up to her and started talking about this bandage. And she said, "I've been trying to get my husband to get one of these bandages. Honey, come over here. Look at this bandage." So she called over this guy. And the way I'm going to describe him, he had a pair of sunglasses on with an Auburn Tiger logo on the side, okay? And this story is not an indictment to Auburn people or Auburn fans, but that's how I'm going to describe him, this Auburn guy. We were talking. We were talking about, obviously, the diabetic sensor to start with. We were talking about college football. We were talking about our kids and where we lived. And then our conversation transitioned to, how are we getting home? What do you think the plan is? And I remember saying this to him, and that moment is frozen in my mind. I said, "The gentleman over there said," and I pointed him out, and I said, "he just said this." My Auburn friend turns to me, looks me square in the eyes, and he said, "You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. He's black." Yeah. I was shocked. I remember shaking my head, dropping my head, turning my back to him. His wife seemed embarrassed. And I remember having this thought: I can't believe it's 2022 and I just heard that come out of somebody's mouth. And honestly, that was about the extent of it. We didn't have a conversation after that. It was over. But to this day, I replay that scenario in my mind, thinking, what should I have done? Because I'll be honest with you, I feel like I left something on the table. I left something unsaid. And every time I play that message, it may be a little different. I don't know what you would have done. But I feel like I needed to confront this gentleman, and I did not do that. The point being, sometimes we need to stand up, speak up, take courage, and sometimes we just don't have the time to plan for it. Unfortunately, that was my cruise story, and I've thought about that over and over again. So to that point, I challenge you, be ready to speak up in those moments. Maybe even if possible, think about Stephen Covey's second habit of beginning with the end in mind. Work through scenarios. If this person ever says this, this is how I'm going to respond. But it's difficult sometimes. But I think we have a duty and an obligation to speak up against injustices of the world. My last Family Feud game. Top answer on the board. What is the greatest act in the Bible of courage? Christ's crucifixion on the cross. If courage can be that act displayed or acted upon for the greater good, for the greater number of people, that would have to be Christ's crucifixion on the cross. And I don't know if Christ had fear or not, but I think he had the courage, because we'd see him in the garden saying, "Let this cup pass from me." So obviously he knew the pain and the agony and the sacrifice that he was about to make for each of us. But yet he says, "Not my will be done, but yours." Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for this time together. I pray that something has been said or shared to challenge us, to allow us to remember our responsibility, remember that we have an obligation to share the love of Christ, share the truth of Jesus Christ and your plan of salvation, even though it may offend. Let us always take advantage of those opportunities. Thank you for CMDA. Thank you for the stand that we take against those things that may be unpopular. Father, that we feel it's important and in keeping with your will for this organization. Father, I love you. I just pray for the rest of our day. Just let us glorify you in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. My birthday is still tomorrow, so...